We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
A lot to get into here. Let's roll into some of the headlines this morning for you. Of course, you know that the Falcons over the weekend had another draft that we have to put in the books, and one that has been generally and broadly fairly well reviewed. Most of the national media giving the draft a Falcons draft a B. USA Today gave it an A. USA Today was the one that said that it was a home run of a draft. And for Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn, they get a potential game breaker in Ito Smith. And they get a starting cornerback in Isaiah Oliver. As for Ito Smith, nearly 50 touchdowns at Southern Miss. Go watch him on the video. He can flat fly that 4.4 speed. And Thomas Dimitroff talking about how Ito Smith can help them in a lot of ways.
He is a quick stop-start guy with some really good agility. One of the best jump cuts, we think, in the draft this year. Catches the ball very well, versatile. Also gives us some opportunity to play him on special teams, which we look for in our third running back. He comes in filling in a gap, potentially, from where Teron Ward was.
Right, and playing special teams, again, you make the move in free agency. You mentioned this with Justin Bethel, special teams expert and defensive back from Kansas City. Russell Gage, the wide receiver that they moved up for from LSU. Somebody said, well, Russell Gage didn't have a whole lot of catches at LSU. Well, maybe that's because he played at LSU, where think of the quarterbacks that Russell Gage had. Come on.
More like they were trying to throw the ball a whole lot.
Right. Amari Cooper wouldn't have had a lot of catches at LSU. Come on, Antonio Brown wouldn't have. The quarterbacks have been awful.
But you could have said that about Beckham and Jarvis Landry.
Right.
When they were at time at LSU, they weren't deep. They had talent, and they were talented guys, but they didn't have the numbers that some of these other guys did because of what was throwing the football to them, plus their philosophy.
Plus, Russell Gage graded out as one of the best cover guys in college football, and so one of the best cover guys in college football. You got one of the best cover guys in the free agency in the NFL and Justin Bethel, and then you get a potential return guy in Ito Smith, and all those special teams woes, because we kept trying to explain it to fans how bad the Falcons were on the kick coverage and return game last year, and they just didn't want to hear us. So when you think they didn't get something for a need, oh man, they addressed that big need in that portion of their game that was lacking.
Yeah, and they've got a bunch of guys on the squad now, John, that's going to play probably a lot of special teams. You're talking about with Justin Bethel and Ito and guys like that. They're gonna be on that special teams team, and they're going to play a lot. You're going to play a lot when it comes to that.
And of course, as we talk about the draft, only one defensive tackle taken in by the Falcons, and that came in round three. Big guy out of South Florida, Deidrin Sanat. Now Deidrin Sanat was not necessarily on the radar of all of our discussions because all of our discussions were centered around first-round guys. But Deidrin Sanat comes in as a very large, space-eating kind of nose tackle sort of guy. He's 315 pounds, and here's what Thomas Dimitroff said about Sanat.
Very excited about him. Big interior guy that can be very, very strong holding the point. Moves around well inside, and we are excited about pairing him with Grady Jarrett.
Yeah, so you, as we start to break him down, it'll be interesting to see him in OTAs and in camp and see what we have in Deidrin Sanat.
It's going to be interesting to see how he evolves and becomes more of what Coach Quinn and Coach Young want him to be. You know, you got to remember, Grady Jarrett was a late-round draft pick, too, a fifth-round draft pick, and he turned out to be a pretty, pretty good player. So it's obvious that Coach Quinn sees something in Deidrin and that they're going to extract that. So it's going to be interesting to see how he works out for this Atlanta Falcons squad as we get closer to the season.
Now here's your chance to tell us what you think of this draft class that the national media ranked as a B. You can go to our website, to our Twitter, at 929 The Game, and vote in our Vision Computer poll of the day, which is about the Falcons draft class. And yes, I am very proud of the fact that it's cheesy, okay?
Well, because these are your options, John. So just asking you what your take on the Falcons draft class. Is it a touchdown because it's a great class? First down, solid group. Punt, show me on the field. Or fumble, could be better right now. 55% say it's a solid group, so giving it a first down. 22% say punt, show me on the field. 17% great class, so a touchdown. And then only 6% say it's a fumble.
Yeah, only 6% say it's a fumble. I mean, fumble, but I got to tell you, I think that You know, the class has got Calvin Ridley. I think he's going to be a star. And I have, I will say this to all of you because I believe it. Up until such a time that Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff have a fail of a class, I'm still going to give full faith and credit that they know what they're doing, all right? And that you're going to like some of these players better than you do, you may at the moment. You may love Calvin Ridley, but go, I don't know, no, Ito Smith from nothing, or Isaiah Oliver, he's not Minka Fitzpatrick. Again, you know, you may find that you like these guys far more than you do. Let's not forget that when they drafted Grady Jarrett, most people in town went, who?
Can I make the point, too, that it's not always, this is just the first part of it. Or really the second part. The first part was the evaluation. The second part is grabbing the guys that they thought fit their system and had the talent and had the skill set that they want. Now the third part is Dan Quinn and his staff have to go coach these guys up, teach them what they're doing, fit them into their system, find a place for them, and make stars out of them. There were a lot of places where Grady Jarrett might have went, though he wouldn't have been the player he is, or Keanu Neal, but they saw something in him, and then they helped develop them into what they are today.
Yeah, that's very important. And I think that's what you see in this Deidre Sinnott, is that, you know, he's a little raw, but you can see the skills. Mm-hmm. He has some skills, so they're going to coach him up and get him ready to play. So I think that he'll be okay. He just needs, to me, the biggest thing that he needs to do is be the aggressor and not take some of the blows that he was taking off the line of scrimmage. He corrects that. I think he has a low center of gravity. I think he'll be fine for what they want him to do.
All right, the draft coverage continues in a few minutes. Some of the other headlines this morning brought to you by Shane Company. Blow our mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Company. Shane Co. is your friend in the jewelry business. Well, it was a hot weekend for a couple of local teams. How about Atlanta United spotting an early goal, very good goal, by the way, by the Montreal Impact, and getting fairly deep into the second half before they could get the equalizer and make it a 1-1 game. And then the floodgates opened, and in less than 30 minutes on the pitch, Atlanta United scored, 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 and scored again.
Back the other way, Almiron with Martinez. Almiron dribbling down the middle for Martinez, who's onside. Back to Almiron. His shot. They score! You can try. You can try. You can try. You just cannot beat the five stripes in this building.
Of course, Mike Conte, a little bit excited about all this. We'll talk to Mike in about an hour.
Great call by Mike Conte, man. Great call by Mike Conte.
Almiron with a brace, his second goal of the game. But really, the man of the match didn't come on until 15 minutes remained in the game. Kevin Kratz came in as a late substitute and in 15 minutes had two free kicks from way outside the box and both times was able to hit a brilliant strike that ended up in a score.
Waiting for the whistle and the wall to be sent by Grajeda. Who will strike it? Kratz or Almiron? It's Kratz. Going for goal again. Score! Unbelievable!
Yeah, it was incredible. Those two goals by Kevin Kratz, I mean, you couldn't hit balls better. You could not possibly strike them better.
Could have made a better call from Mike Conte, too. Got to give a shout out to Mike Conte. Mike Conte really, really gets into him calling soccer. I was a little nervous, John. I was down there, and I was there for the first half, and they weren't – Atlanta United wasn't doing so great. And the first thing that came to my mind was, dang it, the game that I come to, that's when they start not to play so great. But then that's the first thing that I was thinking about. But as the match went on and everything, they started to get the goals, and I felt much better about it. But I felt kind of bad. I'm like, man, the first match that I make it to at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and they're not playing so hot.
Well, Julian Gressel said after the match, though, you know, they were just right there on the doorstep, and there were a couple of times Gressel fed Martinez in the first half early in the game with a tremendous cross that Joseph headed right into the keeper's hands, and then Evan Bush, and then rebound came right back to him and right into the hands of Evan Bush. They had their chances, and Gressel said all we had to do was be patient.
We knew that we were going to get chances, and we knew that we had the ball a lot, and just have to be clinical in the final third, and that's really what we tried to do, and then it paid off.
Yeah, it did pay off for Atlanta United, which has now lost its opener against Houston. That was going to be in a couple of days, Hugh. That will be 2 months since they have lost a game. They have been 2 months since they have lost a game.
Man, they've been rolling. There's no question about it. They have been rolling, and they've been playing well. Gave us a little bit of a scare the other day, though. A little bit of a scare with that slow start that they had. But, yeah, they've definitely been rolling.
And the next up is a showdown with the Fire in Chicago. That'll be on Saturday evening in Chicago. And, of course, we'll have the game for you on 92.9 The Game. All right, the Braves go into Philadelphia, managed to get 2 out of 3. And then yesterday this happens because the Braves come to bat in the very first, top of the first, and Ozzie Albies is going to lead off the game. And so, all right, here we go with the game, and your first batter is Ozzie Albies.
And his first day is rifled deep to right field on the first pitch. A leadoff homer for Albies. Unbelievable. Brian Snitker's got to be smiling down there. He's a genius.
Man, first pitch of the game. Hello, how you do? And it set the tone for, you got it, Ozzie Albies to do even more damage.
Pitch, and it's golfed into right field. That's down for a base hit. That'll score Flaherty. Here comes Ender around third. He's going to score. It's another double for Ozzie Albies. 22 extra base hits. One shy of the record of 23 held by Jermaine Dye before May 1st.
Unbelievable. Chip Carey on Fox Sports South. 10-1 win. And Brian Snitker talking after the game about how good his second baseman has been.
He's an aggressive little guy. I mean, he's aggressive. He trusts his talents. He's, as you see, he just keeps playing. I mean, making adjustments, and he's good.
Yeah, I would say so. Albies having a phenomenal start to the season. 9 home runs among the league leaders in a lot of offensive categories. Ender Inciarte, 13 stolen bases, and that he doesn't even account for that other kid, Ronald Acuna Jr. All he's done is since he come up is steal 4 bases, hit 4 doubles. Well, I stole 1 base, hit 4 doubles, hit .421. I mean, these young kids at the top of this lineup or wherever they seem to put them in the lineup are really doing damage.
Yeah, they are, man. You're talking about Ozzie Albies tied for the NL lead with 9 home runs, John, and the fact that they look like they're feeding off each other. Him and Ronald Acuna Jr. look like they're feeding off of one another, and they're trying to outdo one another in a good way. And the Braves are benefited from it tremendously. Good series up there in Philadelphia, by the way.
Yeah, and Braves take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies, knocking on the door first place. The Braves have the day off today, and they will play at the Mets in a big weekend series in a battle for first place in the NL East. Going into May, a battle for first place in the division. All right, let's update you a little bit on the NBA playoffs. The Cleveland Cavaliers, boy, did they have to work and work and work and work, but they finally put away the Indiana Pacers.
He'll miss the second. Oladipo comes down, hits a 3. It's inbound at 2. LeBron, and this game is over. After a wild, trying, grueling 7 games, the Cavaliers finally have punched their ticket to the second round as they knock off the Pacers in Game 7 by the final of 105-101.
Yeah, it was an ugly, that was Cavaliers radio, ugly 7-game win in a way, Hugh. And not trying to take anything away from the Indiana Pacers, but all the games that the Cavs won came down to the buzzer. And in addition to that, in every game, LeBron had to go for 45 or 50 points.
Yeah, and last night, LeBron didn't want to come out of the game, but he had to come out because he was cramping up. LeBron started to cramp up, I think it was early in the fourth quarter, and he was not on the court. And I think that's – or was it late in the third quarter? One of the other. And he had to come out, and that's when Indiana started to make their run. That was the first time that they took the lead in that game. But, man, when LeBron came back in the game, it just was too much. He knew that in order for them to win, he had to have a Herculean effort if he didn't want to go home. And that's basically what he did. He went out there and he handled his business. It was a very interesting game.
Yeah, it's a very interesting game. So Cleveland will face now the Toronto Raptors and the top 4 teams, even though they had to really struggle to move on in a couple of 3 cases, advance along in the East with the 76ers and Celtics. And their opener will be tonight, I believe. Yes, the opening game between the 76ers and Celtics is tonight in Boston. Meantime, in the West, the Rockets advance along, but that was a tough first series for them. And then they get the hot Jazz in the round 2, and the opening game went like this.
Now to Harden on the right wing, 4-3. Shoots it. Hits it! James Harden, what a game. 41 now for the Beard.
All right, we have established this in the NBA playoffs. James Harden has been the MVP of the NBA playoffs so far, in my opinion, even ahead of LeBron. He has been brilliant in the postseason so far, and I think he is this question mark about him from last year, I think, has been answered. I don't think he's showing any signs of slowing down.
Yeah, they got to go deep, though, John. I mean, the road is paved for them in Golden State, so you got to go deep.
Falcons getting ready for undrafted free agents. They're getting ready to welcome in their new draft picks. And the NFL draft is settling down. Some of the final thoughts here as it regards the draft and some of the grades. As we continue, Our final evaluations of the weekend next.
John and Hugh.
Oh, I think it's sexy.
There is nothing sexy about this show.
What?
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A little bit earlier in the show, we were giving you some of the numbers from the NFL draft. The SEC for the 12th year in a row. 12 years in a row, more players drafted than any other conference. I mean,
respect.
What can you say? I mean, they put out great professional players. Great athletes. 53 this year, 46 for the ACC, and that might have been pretty close to a push if the entire defensive line of Clemson had decided to go into the NFL draft. Instead, they decided to come back. That defensive line at Clemson would have all been, Hugh, potentially first-round picks. I mean,
potentially,
Dexter.
Potentially, yeah. There's some good players on that Clemson squad.
Oh, man, are they loaded. They are loaded. They would have had at least three guys of potential first-round picks off that defensive line, which, by the way, just a little aside over here, that Clemson defensive line is so incredibly good that I'm wondering how anybody's going to score on them this year. I mean, if they want to pitch shutout after shutout after shutout, they will. But that's neither here nor there. Then you had the Big Ten with 32. Some of the reason the Big Ten had 32 and was way below the SEC is that the Big Ten was young this year. And it was a younger league, not as many seniors as in the past. And mm-hmm. and so
but next year they'll have some.
Yep.
They have a lot of guys got to be coming out.
Yep. A lot of guys returning. Mm-hmm. A lot more guys returning this year than usual. Anyway, Georgia had six players drafted. Alabama had 12. Georgia had six. We know about the first rounders and Roquan and Isaiah and Sonny Michel. Nick Chubb went to the Browns in round two. You know, people saying that, well, you didn't get Saquon Barkley, but they got a pretty good running back in Nick Chubb. It's going to be interesting to watch Nick Chubb with the Browns and Sonny Michel with the Patriots and see who has kind of the better rookie season.
I'm going to probably say Sonny Michel. Nick Chubb, when he got drafted by the Browns, I was kind of like, oh, but he get a chance to go out. He get an opportunity to go out there and show what he could do. But you know, it's kind of, I'm pretty sure, you know, it's a blessing to go to an NFL team. There's no question about that. But to go to a team that didn't win a game last year, and to come from a team that was in the national title game last year, it's kind of tough. It's probably going to be a little bit of a humbling experience for him, and something, you know, it's going to be a learning process. But hopefully, you know, that they have enough good young guys around there with the winning mentality that they'll get an opportunity to, you know, try to turn that franchise around.
Well, Cleveland's starting to get some serious name value if you're a college football fan. You look up and down their lineup now, you know, Myles Garrett, Baker Mayfield, you know, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, you have Josh Gordon is back. They've offered him a new deal. So they got Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry running on the outsides with Nick Chubb and Baker Mayfield in the background. I mean, I don't know if it means much, but you know what? They've got some name value here.
They got some good young players. There's no question about that. And they're going to get an opportunity to win some games for them. It's just that the biggest thing in Cleveland that you're going to try to have to do, John, is just change the culture. Change that losing culture, man. And I'm pretty sure Coach Jackson is going to try to do that. You know, he has some players in there now, but they have to change that culture there in Cleveland.
And then Lorenzo Carter went to the Giants in round three. So the New York Giants get a, you know, Carter's stock kept going up. I was sort of surprised he lasted until the third round because his stock had risen so rapidly. And then Javon Wims went to the Bears in round seven for the Georgia Bulldogs. And it will be interesting to track to see who has the best, you know, of the Georgia Bulldogs with two of them going to the Bears, Roquan Smith and Javon Wims, and two of them going to the Patriots, and Isaiah Wynn and Sonny Michel. So we'll follow those guys, and of course they're going to be teammates in the NFL. At least at the moment, they're going to be teammates in the NFL. There's something else I want to address. I want to go back to our poll today. Our Vision Computer poll is about the NFL draft and about the Falcons draft, and it's about whether or not the Falcons hit a home run in the draft and what you think. And you could go to our Twitter, at 929thegame, and say that it was, you know, how do you grade the Falcons draft? It was a touchdown, which means they – really hit it out of the park, right?
Yes, and our first down, which is a solid group, punt, show me on the field, or fumble could be better. 55% of people thinking it's a first down, it's a solid group. 22% punch no me on the field, 17% say it's a great class, and only 6% right now say they could have been better. So that's at least
right. I mean, and I don't know how anybody would call it a fumble, but one of the things, one of the reactions, and of course we always know there's going to be an overreaction. It's not just one person, but there are two or three people, especially on Twitter right now, who are going in on the fact that the Falcons did not address the need at defensive line, and the whole Deidre Sanat is the only defensive tackle you took. I don't know. Again, a couple of things that need to be said, right? We don't know how good Deidre Sanat is going to be.
This is true. This is true. And you don't know how, you really don't know how they had the tackles on their board graded. You heard Thomas Mitchell allude to the fact that a lot of those D tackles were kind of lumped up in the same spot, as like there was not that much drop off at that position. So they felt like they got the best one out of the group of guys. They had Calvin really rated much higher. And when he got there for them, it was a no-brainer to take him. There was a no-brainer to take him because he was graded out so high on their draft board.
Right. So, I mean, again, let's go back to needs here for the Atlanta Falcons. They had a need at right guard. We talked about this need at right guard. They went out into free agency and got Brandon Fusco, a right guard, a starting right guard in the NFL. They have Schweitzer. They kept Garland. They have now, Brandon Fusco. They're going to solve their interior issue on their offensive line with Levitre back for a year and healthy. And, of course, Alex Mack, and you have the bookend tackles. So, all right, that's done. We needed a blocking tight end. Logan Paulson, he ain't going to catch a whole lot of passes for you, but Logan Paulson, as a tight end, is going to come in and block. He's a big, strong, he's almost like a tackle-eligible kind of guy. He's such a big, strong tight end. They did that in free agency. We've talked a little bit this morning about Justin Bethel and drafting Russell Gage out of LSU, about the fact that they addressed their coverage units, which were last in the NFL last year, and about improving the return game with Ito Smith, a youngster out of Southern Mississippi, you got to do special teams.
Yeah, that's what they felt like when you look at this team. That's where it was an aspect where they had to get better at, is in their special teams department, and I think they did that. You got Justin Bethel coming from Arizona, was a special teams guru there, is coming here, and then you got these young guys that are going to come in and contribute on your special teams group as well. They probably felt like their defense was up and coming, and with that rotation that they have and working Deidre in, that they're going to be fine at there, because you're only asking him to play – give you like what, 20 to 30 snaps a game, if that much, maybe 15 just starting out, but not that much. He's going to be a rotational guy. And as we've seen, they do a pretty good job of rotating guys in and keeping guys fresh. So it's not like he's going to be out there, you know, getting a bunch of reps and going to get winded.
Yeah, and there's this impression out there that the Falcons don't have anybody on their defensive line. I mean, they had to go out and get defensive tackles, like six of them, because they just don't have any bodies. Unless I'm wrong, with Vic going back to a full-time defensive end position and Tack being at a defensive end position and Brooks Reed being at a pretty much a defensive end position, with Grady and Sanat in the middle, you have Jack Crawford and Derek Shelby, right? And you could bring back Ataba Rubin. Again, if you did that, what would be the difference between the defensive line last year and this year? It'd be Dontari Poe is gone and Deidre Sanat is there. That would be the difference, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, so, all right. I mean, again, help me this. Am I missing out that their defensive line got appreciably worse?
No, it's just that, you know, as fans, we talked about how they needed to upgrade that the defensive line. We talked about it a lot. And for some fans, when you look at it, it's the eye test, John. When you see what they've done in the draft and you look at the needs that you have, it feels to a lot of people like you didn't address those needs. And that's a legit feeling. That's a legit feeling, because when you talked about it, you know, till we were blue in the face, and they went out and got one D tackle. And we felt that, you know, with all the prognosticators talking about it and us talking about it, that they needed a D tackle. They didn't look at it that way. They looked at it totally different. And until it blows up in their face, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I think down line, we talked to last week about their number one picks. This is the fourth number one pick they've had. Calvin Ridley's the first offensive number one pick they've had. Their previous three number one picks have been pretty darn good. Vic Beasley, Keanu Neal, Tack McKinley, now Calvin Ridley. But also in the draft, so we're talking about the Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff era here. Down into the draft, a little bit deeper into the draft, you got Grady Jarrett. A fifth rounder? Was he a fifth round pick? And nobody said, Grady Jarrett out of Clemson, really? And nobody thought much of him. Tevin Coleman, even though I was trying to talk Tevin Coleman up and explain to people how good Tevin Coleman was at Indiana, virtually nobody in this audience is watching Indiana but me, and I was only watching Indiana because my wife is a Hoosier. And so I knew what Tevin Coleman could do. Now, I have to admit, Hugh, I did not watch a lot of Southern Miss to know about Ito Smith that much. But then when I started watching the tape, I went, whoa, yeah, just watch that tape. Ito Smith can break it. You said Darren Sproles, and I said, that's a pretty good one, right?
Yeah, Darren Sproles was a guy for the Philadelphia Eagles and the New Orleans Saints. I'm pretty sure Falcons fans are familiar with him. Catch it out the backfield, gives you a little bit of spark coming off the bench, coming in, you know, a little change of pace back. And that's kind of like what Smith, Ito reminds me of. Ito reminds me of a guy kind of like a Darren Sproles type.
Yeah, so he's a real quick guy whose real name is – do we know what his real name is? Because I tried to look on Wikipedia for his real name because ESPN came out and said, by the way, Ito is not his real name. When he was brought home by his parents, somebody remarked that he looked like – as a baby, he looked like a little Judge Lance Ito. Remember that name? He was the judge in the O.J. trial. Ito is a nickname apparently given to him because he looked like – Lance Ito.
I found it on his bio from college, Romarius.
Romarius.
Mm-hmm.
Romarius Smith?
Correct.
Ito Smith.
I like Ito better.
Yeah, because now you can think, how much fun is it going to be Mercedes-Benz Stadium? He breaks one, and Ito! We go into that area of his world.
Yes, well, I talk about my potpourri of a weekend. And some of the best parts of my weekend. All this on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
They're young, opinionated, and not afraid to speak the truth. And that's the disclaimer for all you easily offended type people out there.
If you control them in 5 seconds, and they'll take the bait every single time.
The Bunker Mentality. Evenings from 7 to 11. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Yes, I just want to tell y'all about my weekend. Had a great weekend. It started off with me going to the Atlanta United game. That was the first game that I went to all season long. And I got to tell you, shout out to all the Atlanta United fans out there. It's really different than a football crowd. It seemed like it was a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the distant football crowd, but it was a little more laid back. I would say that's what it was. And it was so exciting because I set up in the press box and I kind of sat by myself, but it was kind of cool to see all the people that were covering the game. They were actual fans of Atlanta United. I went so far as when I was sitting in the press box, I actually had Atlanta United shirt on, so I was a little bit of a homer. I felt a little weird because I felt like I was being a little bit of a homer. A little bit. And they had the draft
it's okay,
on.
Though.
Yeah, the food was wonderful. The food service was awesome. It was a great time. Met some great fans. Took a few pictures. Saw John Michaels. They didn't get a chance to see you there at the game, Wendy, but I saw John Michaels. He was there with his family. And so after that, I went to Little Five Points and hung out in Little Five Points. The thing that I found weird about Little Five Points, I haven't been in a while. You know, I did all the sightseeing stuff, the Junk Man's Daughter and all the other good stuff. Mm-hmm. But they had these people out there that, you know, the LGBT group and the Humane Society group. But they did some of the weirdest things that I thought was kind of weird. When they were out there asking for money. Now, I'm all for, you know, if you give me a good presentation, I'm all for helping out. You know, like, you know, when you go to the grocery store and they say, would you like to give us a dollar for whatever? I'm cool with that. But these two individuals, one was with the LGBT group and the one that was with the PETA group, they did something that I have never heard of before in life. When they were doing their whole spiel about, you know, helping their group out and taking donations and everything, they asked me for my credit card information.
Because what?
Say what?
They like, has this happened to anybody else out there?
No.
It happened to me out there same weekend.
It's
really?
Like, no, but this is how they do it. Because, like I said, I'm all for the presentation and how you present what you're trying to sell. And both individuals that stepped to me, I was listening to what they said and I was all in until they started talking about a consistent donation. And I don't know who is telling these young folks to do this, but in this day and age, if you're asking folks for money, mm-hmm. nobody in their right mind, I don't think, is going to give you their credit card information and allow you just to go through their account all willy-nilly. But the way that they set it up, he was like, the young man was like, well, what is your comfortable donation amount? I said, I'll give you a couple dollars. He said, well, you know, we have something great for you. For just 60 cents a month, you can donate forever. So I asked the young man, I'm like, dude, who is out here giving you their credit card information by you for just because you asked for it, just because they're an animal lover or anything like that? Which I thought was kind of weird. But he was like, a few people have done it. That was like the weirdest thing that I have ever seen. Street hustling.
Huh.
And people were giving out their
yeah,
information.
That's the part
that's most shocking, is that people are actually giving out their information.
Yeah, and they stood out there. Like I said, I was all for it. I was all for donating. I had some money in my pocket that I was going to donate with until they started talking about what's my credit card number. And I'm like, nah, we ain't about to do that. But do you know what the highlight of my weekend was? It was something that had to do with the draft. And this part of the draft made me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
To announce the Philadelphia Eagles selection, please welcome from the University of Louisville, kicker David Akers.
What's up, Dallas? I like standing up here before you as an undrafted free agent, representing that shield for 15 years. Tonight, I'm representing the Philadelphia Eagles.
Doug Peterson.
With the 49th pick in the 2018 draft, the NFL would like to represent the Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Goedert.
Dallas.
The best part of that
Goedert.
Was his name was Dallas. And not only that, like it was some Dallas fans that had enough nerve to get on my Twitter feed and say, act like y'all been there before. You know, just act like we won a couple championships. They're the main ones that when they win it, they haven't been to the playoffs or did anything significant in the playoffs in forever. But they're always quick to show you how many championships that they have and everything like that. And I also found this refreshing because, you know, at one time David Akers was an Atlanta Falcon. So it kind of like, you know, it's those little parallels that they have to it. But to me, that was the highlight of the weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people complained about the fact that it was a kicker and that he was the one that was representing the Philadelphia Eagles and the one that said what he said. I understand that. I took a little bit of issue with that, but I do like his bravado in that situation. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed his pettiness. His pettiness was like Super Saiyan petty, because he went so far as to tell you that he was an undrafted player, played for 15 seasons, and that he represented the Philadelphia Eagles. I just loved that whole moment from that whole thing. Only thing that I wish he could have did was just put a little bit more bass in his voice. Because
mm-hmm.
he sounded a little pixie-ish. He sounded like he was a little kid or something, like a little Peter Pan, Peter Pan guy.
But he's right, though. Isn't it amazing, Hugh, to think that you have a daughter. Your daughter 22 yet?
Yes.
Okay, my daughter turns 22 in May. My daughter turns 22 in 2 weeks, okay? She was not alive the last time the Dallas Cowboys won a Super Bowl.
Nah. And they're still living off of that. You know, Dallas Cowboys fans are quick to tell you about that. But that was just, to me, that was just payback because of what Drew Pearson did last year when he trolled Philadelphia Eagles fans in Philadelphia. It was just the timing couldn't have been better. Winning the Super Bowl and then having the draft in Dallas. So in your face, all Dallas Cowboys fans. That was the best part of the weekend for me.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys haven't even made a Super Bowl since they last won the Super Bowl when they beat Pittsburgh in Super Bowl 30 in 1996. Wow. So a whole generation has grown up not knowing that the Dallas Cowboys were a phenomenal organization. And they were.
Yeah, but let the Cowboys fans tell you, that just happened like last week sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, act like you've been there before. Act like you've won one. Well, you know, it's the first one. So, you know, in your face. That was lovely. Lovely weekend for me. Enjoyed it.
And by the way, back to what you were originally talking about, am I a bad person for, because, you know, I know that the folks at the Kroger and at the Cabela's and every place, when you're checking out, that they've got to ask you, because they have to ask you, do you want to donate this or that? I always say no. It's like, oh, no, not today.
Yeah, you're a bad person.
Come on.
Well, why you ask then if you want the answer? If you want the answer, don't ask the question. Yes, you are a bad person.
Oh, man.
No, you're not a bad person.
Yeah, I mean, I donate to my causes, and that's why, and you know, one of those is Special Olympics, which Wendy's going to jump off a building for. Literally, in about 3 weeks. And she won't admit she's scared, but we'll get her on that. when we get back. Way too early. Hey, I found it. Already they're coming out with next year's draft and who the top five picks will be. You may find this fascinating. I've got the list. Next with the morning show and John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.